The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wait a minute. Do you still think politics is boring? Well, not when you can say fun words like caucus. Yes, it's fun words like caucus and more. With the intellectual, intersexual, and intersectional, Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com.
There's a governor known for his mean attacks. Likes to yell at children for wearing masks. Anti-truth, anti-facts, and of course anti-vax. He's a small man after all. Ron DeSantis picked a brawl with fun drag queens, but we recall he wears go-go boots so he looks tall. He's a small man after all. He passed a hateful law known as Don't Say Gay, made AP African American Studies go away. He's attacking trans kids so his base flips their lids. He's a mean man after all. Ron DeSantis, he grandstands, ignores his state for his national plans. But he eats pudding with his hands. He's an uncouth schmuck after all. Now about woke Disney, he's whined and bitched, but neglects to say that's where he got hitched. Disney's winning this fight cause the schmuck isn't bright. He's a dumb man after all. Ron DeSantis, what a louse. Human rights he tries to douse. Picked a fight with Mickey Mouse, which was not a real smart call. Yeah, he's a dumb, mean bigot, a hate-filled spigot, and a boorish, petulant small man who's clearly compensating for something after all.
Before you go, one quick favor. If you're enjoying these videos, I hope you consider supporting me through my Patreon for as little as $2 a month. That way you can enjoy them without feeling guilty about how hard I work every week to keep you laughing at the news that would otherwise make you cry. Thanks!
Lauren Mayer, everybody. And yeah, she's so good that deserves another round of applause that you can actually hear. Okay, welcome to a Thursday, everyone. This has been a hell of a week, so I'm just going to tell you right now, tomorrow, I'm taking the day off. I must thank Diana, listener Diana, who emailed me last night and said, Mercury's in retrograde. And in case you're wondering, it went into retrograde right around the time all my shit started. Well, yeah, I've always said the shit, but it's, you know, not the shits, the shit. And it's an ongoing thing here. But I guess the technical, you know, all the gremlins, I can ascribe to that. Although here's the thing. I'm so fed up with this computer that I broke down and ordered a new one. That's right. What's another $1,500 on my credit card? Just add it to the pile. So with that in mind, I must thank a few people. First of all, everybody who contributes to this show. I know I don't thank you often enough. I'm remiss. That's my fault. I'm an idiot. Thank you. And I will be doing something for all the regular monthly supporters somehow. I don't know what, but I'm going to do something special for you guys because I really appreciate it. I also need to thank Carl Jacobson, Kate from the chat, Douglas Venata, Kimball Regan, Mealtime for You, and Lori Bayford for coming through with some contributions to our cause since my plea yesterday. But the bottom line, in case, because I said all this at the end of the show yesterday, so just so everybody knows, my What's News feature has been discontinued. I've been doing it for almost 8 years now. I think just about almost exactly 8 years now. And I'm working for free. I've tried to keep this show free from clutter, free from commercials, which I can't do anymore. And What's News is something that I started doing for Progressive Voices when they began carrying my show 8 years ago. And so but I don't get compensated for that. It's something that I do. And I, you know what? I do the research anyway. I read everything. And I thought, that's not a big deal. I'll just produce a 6-minute newscast each morning. But it is a big deal. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And frankly, I can't keep working for free. By the same token, I've striven, if that's the word, to, I sound overmodulated. Okay. You know, never a dull moment. So hopefully that's better. You know, I know some of you guys mean well. I really do. But Errol in the chat room writes, Nicole, remember when you mentioned that no one wouldn't hire you at your age? Well, no one will hire me at my age. That's age discrimination. You think? That and $5 will get me a cup of coffee. But I don't have the $5. Plus, I think you're making great money as a YouTuber. I'm glad you think so, Errol. You know, I know you mean well. But shit like that really doesn't help. So the bottom line is you will hear more commercials. And the commercials that I run on the show, hopefully they are advertisers that I feel comfortable with and that you will too. I don't know, just don't know what to say to that. No, I'm not making a lot of money as a YouTuber, in case you were wondering. I don't make any money from Progressive Voices. Nobody pays me a paycheck. The money that I make doing this work comes directly from listeners. And if you don't support the show, then I wind up having problems and not wanting to do the show anymore. So that's where I am. So anyway, if you enjoy the show and can afford to contribute to it, please do. And if you don't, well, you know, oh well, thanks anyway, I guess. All right, so since I'm not doing What's News anymore, I figured I will tell you a little bit about what's in the news during the show. By the way, Howie Klein is back today. Howie Klein's back today. And Lucas Kuntz is going to join us as well. I need to turn away from the chat. I'm sorry, you guys. Again. No, you mean well. All right. So let's start with, since we heard Lauren Mayer. Let's see. Since we heard Lauren Mayer singing about the idiot governor death sentence, who, by the way, is now in Israel. What he's doing in Israel, I have no fucking idea. But there he, oh, you know what he's doing? He's berating the media in Israel, too. So here's a question. I guess he had a press conference today in Jerusalem. What's hysterical is I'm going to show you a video, and you'll see behind Governor Death Sentence, you see the logo of the Museum of Tolerance. So Governor Death Sentence is at the Museum of Tolerance in Jerusalem. And a reporter asks him a question like this. Here we go.
No, not all that's BS.
Hold on. I was too cued in. Here's the question.
During your time at Guantanamo, did you witness any incidents?
No.
Okay. The reporter asked is, during your time at Guantanamo, were you present for force feedings? And he says, Now, who told you that? Who told you that?
No, not all that's BS.
That's
BS.
Totally BS.
Yes.
Who
said that?
Who said that?
How would they know me? Okay, think about that. Do you honestly believe that's credible? So this is 2006. I'm a junior officer. Do you honestly think that they would have remembered me from Adam? Of course not. They're just trying to get into the news because they know people like you will consume it because it fits your preordained narrative that you're trying to spin. Focus on the facts and stop worrying about narrative.
Who the fuck is applauding that shit? So this man is bullying the media, asking a legitimate question. And, I guess it's Ron DeSantis' entourage. Who else would be applauding that shit? I am just... And yes, Jimmy Roberts asked, what's Israel got to do with Florida? Really good question, because Florida is a, Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, where I live, is a disaster area. Fort Lauderdale City Hall is not usable. And yet this piece of shit who's masquerading as a governor, has not set foot in Broward County. Not set foot in Broward County. You know, I could go on. There's so much more, Ron DeSantis. But there's a few other things I want to cover. Maybe we'll circle back to governor death sentence. But, you know, the ugliness here in Florida has spread around the country. I guess there's a, I don't know, it's among maggot states. They want to see who can outdo the others in terms of idiocy. So I take you to a report from Texas, from ABC 13, Eyewitness News, somewhere in the horrific state of Texas, where an elementary school had a field trip scheduled to go see a production of James and the Giant Peach. James and the Giant Peach! What could possibly go wrong? Oh, wait a minute. Wait till you hear this.
The school didn't necessarily spell out exactly why they canceled the field trips. But from what we can tell, parents are saying online, it seems some parents are upset that the theater is using a single actor to play multiple roles, regardless of if the actor's gender matches the gender of the characters they're playing.
Main Street Theater's performance of James and the Giant Peach is marketed for those first grade and up. Based off the children's book with the same name, it's a story about a boy who goes to live with his less than loving relatives.
James and the Giant Peach. It's just full of wonder and curiosity.
Spring Branch ISD was supposed to go on a field trip to see the performance, but parents were told this week that the field trip was canceled, and they weren't really told why.
Initially, I was not. Mm-hmm. So just the general email that went out to parents was, you know, we're not going to be able to participate in this. What? We're going to do something else.
Sherry Thomas is a Spring Branch parent. She tells us this may have started during the public comment portion of a recent school board meeting. She says a parent shared her concerns about an actor playing multiple roles that were both male and female, saying it's drag.
God.
The theater marketing director says the theater has a long history of casting this way.
And the amazing thing is the kids just, they believe the story. They're not interested in any, you know, agendas or anything anybody else thinks might be going on.
Thomas says that this should not be the school or community's focus in the first place.
You think?
It's overblown.
You think?
A manufactured crisis.
She feels parents should be the ones to decide if their kids get to go, not the school district. We reached out to Spring Branch ISD about the decision to cancel the trip, and we were told, quote, Spring Branch ISD's pending field trips to the Main Street Theater's performance of James and the Giant Peach are being canceled due to concerns raised about the age-appropriateness of the performance.
Age-appropriateness? Are you fucking kidding me?
And we did reach out to parents who were commenting online, saying that they were glad the field trips were no longer happening, but none of them chose to comment. I'm Liliana Pearson, ABC 13.
They're glad the field trips aren't happening because an actor is playing roles of both sexes. And that's drag. Oh, my God. That's a drag queen. What is wrong with these people? That's, you know, that's the idiocy that leads us to the next story I'm going to play for you. I saw that and I'm like, I give up. You cannot reason with somebody who has no common sense. These people are fucking idiots. They're fucking morons. I'm beyond how do these people get through life? This is Texas. You want to hear what else is Texas? There was a hearing yesterday in the Senate. I think it was the Senate Judiciary Committee, but don't quote me on that. I'm not sure which Senate hearing this was. But it was a hearing in the U.S. Senate. And there's a woman named Amanda Zarowski. And Amanda Zarowski almost died because these fucking maggots think, remember, people with no medical training, no scientific training, who believe that they have a right to tell people, women, how to deal with a pregnancy gone bad, with a fetus that's dead in her body and still can't get that dead fetus removed because the doctor is being threatened with 99 years in prison if he dares to remove that dead fetus from her body. So she has to go into sepsis and get inches from death before they can do anything to help her?
Get to go.
Before they can do anything to help her? I'm mortified by this. And hold on, because now I've got audio
trips to the meet.
Coming from that same thing. I got to stop that video from playing, and I can't. You don't even know where it's playing from. Hold on. That's not it. Oh, shit. Oh, okay. I see. I told you. Mercury's retrograde. Nothing is working right. Okay. I'll blame it on that. Okay.
Pearson, ABC 13.
God damn it. I stopped it. I closed the window. Okay. Now it ended. Okay. So now back to this hearing at the Senate yesterday. And Amanda Zurowski is from Texas.
We've heard a lot today about the mental trauma and the negative, harmful effects on a person's psychological well-being after they have an abortion, supposedly. And I'm curious why that's not relevant for me as well, because I wasn't permitted to have an abortion. And the trauma and the PTSD and the depression that I have dealt with in the 8 months since this happened to me is paralyzing. On top of that, I am still struggling to have children. And I wanted to address my senators, Cruz and Cornyn, who neither of whom regrettably are in the room right now. But I would like for them to know that what happened to me, I think most people in this room would agree, was horrific.
Yep.
But it's a direct result of the policies that they support.
Yep.
I nearly died on their watch.
Yep.
And furthermore, as a result of what happened to me, I may have been robbed of the opportunity to have children in the future.
Unbelievable.
And it's because of the policies that they support.
100%.
What happened to me was horrible, but I am one of many. And quite frankly, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I have a husband that could take me to the hospital. I don't have other children that I had to worry about finding health care for. I have a job that was understanding that allowed me to grieve for 3 days as I waited to almost die. What about all of the women that don't have those same opportunities, that don't have access to health care, that don't have health insurance, that don't have a partner? What about them?
She kept going. That's all I have, unfortunately. But a couple of things you should know about that. Again, she's from Texas. Her two senators, Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, left the room as she was getting ready to start testifying. They left the room. She's a constituent, and that's how they treat her. They left the room. You know who stayed in the room? You know who was there because he's on the committee? Miss Lindsey Graham. And I'm sorry that this is a visual. So for those of you listening to the audio only feed, I will explain to you, I will narrate for you what I'm putting up on the screen. While that woman was giving that heart-wrenching testimony about how she almost died because the doctors were not allowed to treat her for fear of them spending the rest of their lives in prison, this is what Lindsey Graham was doing. Senator Lindsey Graham. Where is that? Oh, man. Come on. Why can't I find it on here? Oh, here it is. Okay. This is Senator Graham. I'm putting up the okay, so now I'm going to play the video. While she's testifying,
it's downright dangerous to create life in this country. This has gone on long enough, and it's time now.
Oh, hold on. Let me go back to the beginning again. Miss Linz can't keep his eyes open. Sorry, Lindsay. Is it not exciting enough for you? A little bored? Maybe you drank too much last night, you old drunken queen. He couldn't keep his eyes open. Sorry, Lindsay. Too boring for you? Maybe go to a drag show. Maybe be in a drag show. I think you've done that before, haven't you? Oh, I've got the drag. And again, this is a visual, but somebody got creative. I showed the stills from this. I saw somebody put prominent Republicans in drag and put pictures of them up on interwebs. Well, somebody else, Obscurious Mind on TikTok, decided to animate it. Oh, those deep fakes are really something, aren't they? Take it away. What was his name? Donna, I don't know. Here.
Make America glam again.
I'm the elephant in the room, and I'm not afraid to sparkle.
They call it trickle-down fabulousness.
Yeah.
I believe in limited government, but unlimited glamour.
Don't tread on me, unless you're wearing fabulous heels.
GOP stands for Glamour on Point.
I'm a fiscal conservative, but I'll never skimp on style.
Oh, Mitch McConnell, you piece of shit.
I'm here to cut taxes and sashay away.
Steve Bannon.
Stars, Ted stripes, Cruz. And stilettos. Now that's what I call liberty.
I'm here to filibuster with flair.
I don't even know who that is.
God
or
we trust
that.
And glam
it's
got to
be Josh Hawley. Some of them I can't recognize. The last two, maybe someone can tell me who they are. But AI-generated Republican drag queens. It is hysterical, Muttley, isn't it? I could look at that all day. I'm going to tweet that out. I'm going to put it on Facebook. And I'm going to post it on the blog where I post today's show at NicoleSandler.com/4-27-23. But, you know, before we move on, since Mitch McConnell was in that thing, you know what? I'm not going to play him. Mitch McConnell, the clip that I was, that I'll get to eventually, he's blaming those on the far left, the people on the far left, for the Supreme Court justices being ethically bankrupt. Oh, give me a break. But do I have, I do have it. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to play for you, and then our guests should about be here. So, in another hearing in the House, in one of the committees that Marge Q. Green is, for whatever ridiculous reason, on, sitting on these committees, she's questioning Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. And this woman, and I use the term loosely for Marge, is a certifiable piece of shit. So Randy Weingarten happens to be a gay woman married to another woman, as gay women tend to be, and they have a child together. But that's not good enough for old Marge. By the way, remember, it's her people who scream, you got to adopt, you know, you can't kill the baby. It's not a baby, it's a fetus, it's a cell in most cases. It's a zygote, not a person, piece of shit. But here's Marge. This is Marge Q. Green trying to get the best of Randy Weingarten. She didn't succeed. Take it away, Marge.
Are you a mother?
I am a mother by marriage.
By marriage, I see.
I see. Oh, really? Wait.
And my wife is here with me.
Good for you, Randy.
I'm really glad that she's here, Rabbi Sharon Klein.
Ms. Weingarten, I reclaim my time. I didn't ask you a question.
Sorry. But
And Randy apologized, and I don't know why she did, because she's a nice person. She honestly looks like she's about to cry here, which makes me very upset. But you keep going, Marge. Show us what kind of a compassionate woman you are.
I'd like to talk about is your recommendations to the CDC as not a medical doctor, not a biological mother,
not a medical doctor, not a biological mother? Fuck you, bitch!
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch, shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch, shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Bow,
sorry.
Bow, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Done with her. You're not really a mother? You're not a biological mother? Say that to my face, you piece of human excrement. I'm not a biological mother either. You want to tell me I'm not a mother? Come over here and say it to my face. And in the mood I'm in, watch out. God, if I saw that woman, and I use the term loosely, in person, it's a good thing I don't, because I'd probably strangle her with my bare hands. How fucking dare you? You sorry excuse for a human being. Not a doctor, not a medical professional. What about the politicians in Texas who made it impossible for that woman who we just heard to get that dead fetus out of her body? No, she had to get sepsis first and almost die. What the hell are we doing in this country? Where are we? Because I don't recognize this nation. I don't recognize these people. I just, it's times like this that I say, what the fuck are we doing? Why It's a charade. It's all a charade. Oh, and then there's Nikki Haley, right? Oh, a sensible alternative to Donald Trump and more on death sentence. Do you hear what she said? Listen to this one.
I think there's a few issues here. You know, he's announced his, that he's running again in 2024. And I think that we can all be very clear and say with a matter of fact that if you vote for Joe Biden, you really are counting on a President Harris.
What?
Because the idea that he would make it until 86 years old is not something that I think is likely. It's.
Oh, my God. Are you a doctor? Ms. Haley, did you examine the president? You're not sure he can make it through his term. He can't make it to 86. He's going to die in office. That's what she said. What the actual fuck? What are we doing here? Anyone? Bueller? Can anyone tell me what we're doing here? Because none of this makes sense. All right, I got time. Real quick. Mitch McConnell. Tell us, who's the problem with Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch lying to people and doing shady deals and not disclosing them?
And then, of course, there are the desperate and never-ending attempts to smear and defame justices appointed by Republican presidents going back years and decades.
What?
Over the last few weeks.
What?
Two justices have been particularly subjected to a carousel of character assassination.
No, Robert, you can't take your call now, Robert. I'm sorry.
I'm sure it'll be another justice's turn again before too long.
So he's saying...
This is simply how the far left treats the rule of law.
No, this is... This
Let
is
me just repeat.
Sorry, this is exactly how crooked right-wingers treat the rule of law. They think it doesn't apply to them. So Clarence Thomas has been taking millions of dollars worth of travel and other favors from his buddy, the billionaire, and has been ruling on cases that he is involved in ever since. I mean, and then Neil Gorsuch sells property and doesn't disclose that. I mean, the lying and the cheating. And they're not breaking any laws because there are no ethics rules, don't you know, for the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell has the balls to say, oh, it's the far right, those radical liberals who are just demeaning the Supreme Court justices. This is how they treat the rule of law. Hey, Mitch McConnell and all of you fucking assholes.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Yeah. You know what time it is, don't you? I'm about to get him on the line. I just got to get the right bed up. It's coming. Bear with me. Mercury and all that. Here we go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
Grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole.
Welcome back. I'm good. How are you?
I'm jet-lagged.
I'll bet. Well, hold that thought. Because we have a special guest to welcome you back. Howie's been gone for a couple of weeks. I'm going to ask you, yes, where you went. But Lucas Kuntz is here, and I just lost his picture. But you know what? Oh, there he is. Lucas Kuntz joins us. He is the Democrat running for the U.S. Senate again, this time from Missouri, this time against Josh Hawley. Lucas, thank you so much for being here. It's been a while. Nice to see you. And say hi to Howie Klein.
Good to see you, Nicole.
Good to see you.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Hear you now.
Okay, good. Hey, Howie, what's happening, man?
Hey, Lucas, I just got back from a couple of weeks in Thailand. I'm all jet-lagged out.
Woo, boy. Well, I hope you get some rest.
So when did you get back?
A couple of days ago.
And it takes a while because you're, you know, so you ate and traveled. How was the plane?
Plane was okay. Plane was okay.
Did you wear a mask?
Of course. And the thing that was great about Thailand is that everybody wears a mask. There are some tourists who don't, but all of the Thais are wearing masks at all times. So that I thought was really good.
Interesting. Okay, we'll get back to this because we only have Lucas for a few minutes. You're very busy, and I've been wanting to have you back on since you've announced your candidacy for the 2024 Senate race there in Missouri to unseat Josh Hawley. And please, and thank you. So how's it going so far?
Of course. That was going great, Nicole. You know, we got a real good grassroots fundraising movement. We raised over $1 million in the first 3 months of this year since announcing on January 6th, of course, because what better day to announce against Josh Hawley than on January 6th? And, you know, we just rolled up a bunch of union endorsements. I think we got our ninth one today. So, you know, we're looking strong. We're bringing everyday Missouri working power against Josh Hawley. He's unpopular in the state. His approval is 42 and his disapproval is 43, which for a Republican in this state is an achievement. And that's without any negatives being run against him at all. That's just on the strength of his own personality. So, you know, we got a good position here. We got a weak incumbent. We've got a lot of money. We outraised him 3-1 last quarter, and we're going to be able to hammer a good message home with people in Missouri.
Oh, I love hearing that. And again, people can get to your website. It's Lucas, L-U-C-A-S, Kuntz, K-U-N-C-E .com. It's that easy. And help you out. I'm guessing you will take help in any way, whether it's
We need it, guys. People to text, send emails, send postcards, donate some money. I mean, this is it, right? Missouri is the front line in the fight for democracy. We have got a situation where we had basically all Democrats statewide elected up through 2017. We just lost our last one this year. I had lunch with her in the Capitol on her last day. And we're going to win one back here. We've got a great opportunity. A lot of people upset with Josh Hawley, both on the Democrat and Republican side. You know, his biggest backer, our former Senator John Danforth, has said he's the biggest mistake that he ever made.
Really?
And, well, that's a guy who also made the Clarence Thomas mistake, so you know it's got to be bad.
Because Clarence Thomas was a pretty big mistake, despite what Mitch McConnell says. Mitch McConnell says, of course, it's those liberals, it's their fault, because they don't know the rule of law. I don't know if you heard the clip I played, but McConnell is blaming those liberals who have been demeaning these wonderful Supreme Court justices.
Well, look, everyday Missourians are tired of the corruption. And you see that, you know, when I go around, the first thing people talk about, you know, we had a reporter ask one the other day, a woman down in the Boot Hill, Missouri. She asked her, you know, what's your favorite part about Lucas's campaign? I thought it was going to be any number of things. And the way she responded, though, was, well, my favorite part is that he doesn't think that members of Congress should own stocks anymore, because I'm so tired of them making decisions based on their stock portfolios rather than all of us. And so, you know, when you talk about judges being corrupt, I mean, let's look at Josh Hawley, right? So that's the senator from our state. The judge who just did the Mifepristone, the abortion pill ruling, was languishing when Trump was trying to get him nominated. He donated to Josh Hawley's campaign. Josh Hawley gets in. He pushes the guy through. And then Erin Hawley, Josh's wife, has that exact case where they chose the jurisdiction, right? They jurisdiction shopped to make sure they'd be in front of this guy, a guy that donated to her campaign and to his campaign that he had helped out. And so, of course, the guy does a ruling in favor of Josh Hawley's wife. And now, you know.
So Josh Hawley's wife was complicit in this Mifepristone case.
She was one of the lead attorneys in the Mifepristone case. And I mean, you know, the worst thing is that the judge and Josh Hawley are tight. He donated to the campaign. Josh Hawley helped him get through his nomination hearing. And so it's just, there's a swirl of corruption that goes around that we really have to break.
Without a doubt. Now, I guess we can take a little solace in knowing that the Supreme Court put a stay on that judge's ruling stopping the sale of Mifepristone until they can review the case and hear it.
It's
temporary.
It's a hard drug name to say.
It really is. I screw it up every time.
Yeah,
the abortion pill. The one of the abortion pills. Yeah. But, you know, nothing, as I was saying before you guys came on, nothing makes sense anymore. We just heard some of the testimony from a woman who was testifying before a Senate committee yesterday from Texas. about the she was wanted to have a baby and the fetus died and no doctors would perform the medically necessary procedure to extract the dead fetus from her body until she went into sepsis and almost died because they were afraid they'd go to jail for 99 years.
Yeah, it's really sad the way that they treat people.
I'm astounded. So, Lucas, we need people like you in Congress, in the Senate, who are going to bring us back to sanity. I don't recognize where we are anymore.
You know, I think, you know, we're lucky because the people in Missouri are frustrated with the Josh Hawley types. They're tired of him. You know, this guy, at one point, he's a country club Republican, and then he's, you know, Mr. Culture Warrior and everything in between. And he doesn't really stand for anything except for power for himself, right? I mean, that's what we saw on January 6th. The second the guy thinks he's going to give him some power, he's out there pumping his right fist, trying to egg a crowd along. And then when things get real, he's skittering out the back door away from his own people, right? He stands for nothing. And so
now he's writing a book about masculinity. What the hell is that about?
Now he's writing a book about masculinity. That's right, Howie. So if you don't know, Josh Hawley has a book coming out on manhood in about a month where he's going to tell everybody exactly how to be a man, which means being exactly like him, or at least how he says he is. You know, who knows how he actually is. But it's going to be quite the page turner. And we're excited to really bring a lot of attention to that because, again, like, if you think you're a guy who should write a book about manhood, you probably shouldn't be writing a book.
Isn't that the truth? You know, every time I see the video of him running away on January 6th, I hear the scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Run away! Run away! Because someone needs to do a mashup. It probably already has been done. But anyway, that's where my mind goes. So you know, we're still a year and a half out from the election. Should our election cycles be this long?
No, it's really sad the way that it is. And I think a lot of the reason that it takes so long is just because of the way that money works in politics. And so when you're up against that, you know, I'm a normal person. I grew up paycheck to paycheck. My family went bankrupt when my little sister had to have open heart surgery. And, you know, we only made it because our neighbors, who frankly didn't have any more money than we did, you know, they passed the plate down at church for us to take care of us. They brought more tuna casserole by the house than we can ever eat and really made sure that we could make it. And so that's, you know, that's what I come from. I try to pay that community back by spending 13 years in the Marine Corps, not exactly a place where you make big political connections and get a lot of money. And so, you know, for an everyday guy to try to run for a U.S. Senate seat, it takes, you know, against a corrupt person like Hawley, who's willing to take millions of dollars from corrupt billionaires. You got to start early. You got to raise from everyday people and you really got to get out and meet everybody in the state. It's just, you know, what he has access to is unfortunate. It's part of the system. The system I want to break. I mean, when I am raising money, I made a promise at the beginning of the campaign to say, I don't want to owe anybody except everyday Americans, everyday Missourians, people like those who took care of our family when we were growing up. And so I don't take money from federal lobbyists, no corporate PACs, no big fossil fuel executives, no big pharma executives. You know, we have a pretty long list just because I think that that's really it's ruined politics. To make it something that's not about service anymore. It's all about serving your donors and serving yourself.
Well, it is. And so by you saying I'm not taking any money from any of those entities, how much of a disadvantage does that put you at monetarily?
That's really, it's hard to say because I don't know how many of them would want to go in on me based on my positions anyway.
Right.
I do know that when I first said that's how I was going to do it, the sort of standard Democratic fundraiser person said, and I quote, that's stupid, and didn't want to have anything to do with it. So, but I don't think it is, right? I think that if we're going to change the system, this is how we got to do it. And again, we raised $1.1 million in the first quarter this year, and that's more than any Democrat or Republican in this position has ever done before. And we did that without taking corporate PAC money. So I think that what our goal to do is set a trail against the system that's not working, go against corrupt people like Josh Hawley, point it out to everyday Missourians. I mean, I have to show something different. And I think this is one of the most important things that we can show because it's a change that literally everybody wants.
Most definitely.
Are people fun to understand your message? Are they, you know, you've been doing this for a while now. Are they getting it? Or are they just thinking, well, he's a Democrat and he's a Republican and, or they understand what you when you talk about monopolies, for example, do they understand who you are and what you're trying to do?
Yeah, so people understand corruption, and they understand the way that corporate power has taken over our government, right? And, I mean, if anyone is operating as an authoritarian government right now, it's corporate America. The bigger the corporation, the more power they got. And people see that. And the thing is that a lot of corporations here in Missouri, they don't have the same cachet they used to have, because while they have consolidated, they've essentially left the state. And so, you know, our state's been stripped for parts by our politicians letting this type of thing happen. I mean, company after company has been sold out of state or overseas, right? Bayer to Germany, Bayer bought Monsanto, Bayer's a German company. Smithfield, our biggest pork producer, is now owned by a Chinese conglomerate. Anheuser-Busch is owned by InBev, a Brazilian and Belgian conglomerate. You know, the list is actually very long, and so people are frustrated with that. They've seen the effect it has. If you live in rural Missouri, you've seen the way that these large corporations bring concentrated animal feed operations into your backyard, CAFOs. They destroy your water quality. They make it so you can't really live in your house anymore. And you know, so on and so forth. It's a pretty long list. And so, yes, the message reaches people. That's what we raise money to do, obviously, is to get that out. But when we go around, we get very good crowds. We get crowds where Democrats don't usually get crowds. And it's pretty exciting. I mean, we had like 100 people in a town called Freeburg the other day, and there's only 400 people that live in Freeburg.
Wow.
So, you know, some people came from around the area, but it's a very rural area, and they're coming together because they're just really tired of this state being stripped for parts.
That's very encouraging. Josh, Lucas Kuntz is running to get Josh Hawley out of the U.S. Senate to replace him. And my God, do we need you? Just the way things are going, I'm at my wit's end just seeing what they're doing there. None of it makes sense. I think I say something like this at every election, but if Democrats can't take back the government and get us back to some place of sanity, I really fear for the direction this nation is headed. And it's all hands on deck time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why I'm running.
It's a really important race also, because the Democrats are playing defense, and this is the only race in the whole country where there's a chance for a Democrat to take a Republican seat and replace a Republican. There are no other races like this. And, you know, that's why it's the only race that Blue America has where Blue America has endorsed a candidate in running for Senate.
Wow. Well, and I know, Howie, you've been behind Lucas for a long time. That's how we met Lucas in the first place last time. And I'm hoping that gave you enough of a base that people do know you now, and the timing is right. So we got to make this happen. Everybody, go to lucaskuntz.com. Sign up to Phone Bank. Volunteer. Donate money if you can. However you can help, it is that important. And it's not hyperbole to say the future of democracy depends on this election. So, Lucas, you have an outlet here anytime. We are just so excited that you're running, and I can't wait to call you Senator and see Josh Hawley on the unemployment line.
Super. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Howie. I appreciate you guys having me on again. And, yeah, just everyone, you know, it really is the front line in the fight for democracy here. I mean, this state, it's got a very purple history, and it's one that we've been losing over the last few years. And if we don't take that back, we're going to lose people forever. It's absolutely critical we win this race for the country. So thanks for having me again.
I know you need to run. Thank you so much for being here, Lucas. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You bet. I guess.
All right. So Howie Klein, you know, Lucas was supposed to join us a few weeks ago, and our scheduling got mixed up, and it just turned out that he could be here today just as you were getting back from Thailand. But I didn't want to not have him on if he was available. So there's Lucas Kuntz. He's always a breath of fresh air. You know, it's so nice to hear him, to hear somebody who should be in the Senate, hopefully this time, 2 years from now, will be in the Senate and making a difference, because my God, do we need it?
Yep.
And now I heard, in West Virginia, the governor, Jim Justice, now declared that he's challenging Joe Manchin for his Senate seat. And Jim Justice is an interesting character. He won the governorship in 2016 as a Democrat. And then once he got into office and Donald Trump got into office, he changed and became a Republican.
Yeah, well, he's very much like Manchin, where, you know, he's very, very wealthy, and just like Manchin is, and he really is a Republican. He's very, very conservative as well, and you know, whether you call yourself a Democrat or a Republican, you're very, very conservative, and both Justice and Manchin are like that. Now, he may not be the candidate, because the far right has their own candidate, Alex Mooney, who's a MAGA congressman right now, and he has a lot of support as well. So Justice is going to have a big fight on his hands just to win the nomination.
Wow.
On the other hand, you know, who the hell wants Joe Manchin to win?
Nobody, but, you know, when there's only a one-vote margin in the Senate, and
he's
if
voting
it means
the Republicans on
I know. But it also is the difference between, not that Chuck Schumer is any great prize, but Chuck Schumer or Mitch McConnell as Senate Majority Leader.
Right. So I think it's more important to focus on electing someone like Lucas Kuntz.
Absolutely.
You know, let Manchin go to hell and let Lucas be that 51st vote. I think that's a way more important thing.
As long as we don't lose any others. The fact that you said, the last cycle was a better, you know, there's a third of the Senate is up for re-election every 2 years, because Senate terms are 6 years. So every 2 years, about a third of them are up. Some years it's better for the Democrats, some years it's better for Republicans. Last year it was better for Democrats. This time, not so much. As you said, this seat in Missouri is the only one that it looks like a Democrat can flip.
Yeah, it is the only one. It's the only Republican seat that is flippable.
Wow.
And it's not going to be easy either. It's going to be pretty difficult to do. But if anyone can do it, Lucas is the guy.
I agree. He's so impressive. You know, the first time you brought him on the show, I was really impressed by him. And I've spoken to him a number of times since then. And he's the perfect guy for right now. He's exactly what we need. So Missouri, please, it's not Florida anymore. Florida's lost. It may as well just drift off into the Atlantic. But Missouri, we need you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult state for a progressive Democrat, no less.
Yeah, no kidding. So
he's not running as a Republican light candidate at all. He is running his own campaign as a strong populist progressive.
Good.
Very, very different from a corporate guy like Hawley.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I wish other candidates would learn from Lucas Kuntz and how he's running. He's being true to who he is and his beliefs.
Right, just like Fetterman did.
That's right.
I mean, Fetterman also ran, did not try to run as a Republican. He, you know, it's interesting. Pennsylvania and Ohio are right next to each other, and the guy running in Ohio, Tim Ryan, ran, you know, pretty much as a Republican light
candidate.
That's
right. That's right.
And then Fetterman ran as a strong progressive Democrat. Fetterman won, and Ryan lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People should learn.
They should learn. They do. People, Democrats will not come out and vote for Republican light. If they wanted a Republican, they'd vote for the Republican. You need to give them something to be excited about, a reason to get out and vote. It's the reason why here in Florida, Governor Death Sentence won by such a big margin, because the Democrats stayed home, because the choice they were given was Charlie Crist, who is a Republican. You know, he's now a Democrat,
generally,
but he's a Republican. Right. So, you know, but we don't learn. This is, you know, I had John Perkins on yesterday, and he's the economic hitman guy, and he's always brilliant. And the thing is, we don't learn from our mistakes. That's the most infuriating thing for me is, you know, when I hope that one thing I do is when I fuck something up, and I do it all the time, that I at least learn from that fuck up and don't repeat it. But we don't get that as the people here. We just don't.
Yeah.
So Thailand.
Are you living in Florida, by the way?
I'm still in Florida, and our move is delayed probably at least another month now. And don't even ask. I'm beyond frustrated. This place is a bigger shit show than ever. You know, while you were gone, we had torrential rains here, like you guys had in California. We had here in Florida, and Broward County. The eastern part, I'm on the western part of Broward County, eastern part of Broward County, Fort Lauderdale, flooded. 1,000-year flood. 1,000 homes or more were destroyed. Fort Lauderdale City Hall is uninhabitable. They're going to have to raise that entire building. They can't use it because it's flooded. death sentence hasn't even been here. He's busy traveling the world. He's in Jerusalem now, pissing off reporters. And he actually this week did. There was a news report that he had applied for disaster funding for Broward County. Well, awfully nice of him. A week later, he hasn't set foot down here. But we're probably better off without him because we really don't need to see those white go-go boots. It's really frustrating. And just seeing, you know, all these women who have had horrible pregnancies and can't get a doctor to treat them. I don't know what country we're in anymore.
Yeah. Florida.
Florida. Yeah, but Texas, because I just did a couple of stories about Texas. You didn't hear this one. But there's a school board in Texas that canceled a field trip to a local theater for first graders to see James and the Giant Peach. You know why?
No, I don't know what James and the Giant Peach is.
James and the Giant Peach is a children's book written by Roald Dahl, who wrote, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, who's written a number of children's books. He's a children's author. James and the Giant Peach was a movie, was a book, and a play. And it's meant for first to third graders. Well, this school district canceled the field trip for these first graders because a parent said it is age inappropriate because there's one actor playing a number of roles, and some of the roles are actually female roles. So this actor would be, brace yourself, in drag.
Yeah, well, that's a long tradition in theater.
Yeah, of course it is. That it's not a drag show. Not that there's anything wrong with that. As someone said in the chat room, don't watch Mrs. Doubtfire. Don't watch Some Like It Hot. You know? What about Rudy Giuliani and his getup? The hypocrisy is stunning. And then you got Marge Q yelling at Randy Weingarten, you're not a real mother. You're not a biological mother. Guess what? I'm not a biological mother either. I would love for her to come and tell me I'm not a real mother. I'll show you a mother, you mother. Ay, ay, ay. So the big news while you were gone in the... a couple of changes in the media landscape. I'm wondering if in Thailand, do they even know who Tucker Carlson is?
I don't know that the Thais know who he is, but you know, we were getting the news there. For me, I was on the plane when that happened, and as we were landing, suddenly the you know, the cell phones come alive. Well, when you even before you hit the runway,
right.
And the first message I got was from someone telling me that he was fired. And I announced it to the cabin that I was in, and most people started cheering and applauding. And there were these two couples from Texas who looked at me with daggers in their eyes. They weren't happy about my happiness.
Oh my God! Of course they were from Texas. Well, did you hear that the ratings on Fox, like their primetime ratings, have plummeted?
Yeah.
I don't.
And Newsmax has gone up.
Oh my God! You know, and then. He released some YouTube video. No, I'm not going to play it. Sorry, I won't hit it. I won't hit play on it. I'm not going to play it on this air. Not going to. But basically what he did was say, all those, you know, those cable shows, they're all the same. And none of them debate the facts or debate the poverty or human rights. Or like, what the fuck is he talking about? Has he listened to himself? The hypocrisy is just so flagrant. Not that that's not expected from him, but... And people fall for it. That's what gets me most of all is the stupidity of, and you know, the poorly educated. I guess that's why they're trying to destroy public education. What's left of it anyway.
They've been very successful at it. So what do you think? Do you think that the people at MSNBC are debating whether or not to hire him?
No. But, you know... I don't know what they're doing over there. No, because they're the Never Trumper channel. And although they might, because Tucker apparently hates Donald Trump passionately. So he'd fit right in among the Never Trumpers there.
Oh, what a horrible thought. I mean, do you think that they would gain more people or lose more people if they were to hire him?
Oh, they won't hire him. No, they would disgust anybody who actually watches that channel. They're not going to hire him. But, by the way, Tucker Carlson was already fired from MSNBC. Remember, he used to do a show there with his little bow tie.
And CNN.
Well, CNN is another thing. So Don Lemon. And I don't know if you heard this exchange. So he's interviewing, you know, he's been a sexist misogynist apparently for a while. He made a few stupid comments on the air, like Nikki Haley's not in her prime because she's older than 40. That was a good one, Don. But apparently that's not what got him fired. They're saying it was this exchange he had with Vivek Swamy or whatever his name is, who's running Ravaswamy? Something like
Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy. Who was you know, blaxplaining to Don Lemon about the plight of black Americans throughout history. And Don Lemon called him out on it. I don't usually agree with Don Lemon. I'm not a big fan, but I thought he was 100% in the right there. And according to the New York Times and other outlets, that was the final straw. I'm telling you, we live in opposite world. I don't understand any of it. Do not. Anyway, Howie, you sound tired. So I'm going to let you go and rest up. We'll reconnect next week. When we talk next Thursday, I'm going to be heading out the following day to go to Jazz Fest. I've never been.
Oh, in New Orleans.
In New Orleans. We're just going for one day. I have a friend who's performing. She's invited us. I'm going to do an interview with her. And she gave me a hotel room and everything. So we're going.
Nice.
My first time going to New Orleans. I've never been.
Oh, nice. Good food.
That's what I hear. We're saving up for it. Saving up money and calories. Anyway, Howie, I'll let you go. We'll talk next week. You'll be over your jet lag and we'll forge ahead.
Thanks a lot. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Howie. Bye-bye. Howie Klein. And for those of you who are asking, that's where he was. He was in Thailand. And no, I don't, you know, say if he's out. Well, it's not my place. So he was gone for a couple of weeks. He's back. And, you know, now we're into election cycle time again. All right. With that, I'm done. I've been done. Thank you, guys. Thanks for those of you who are reaching out to support the show. I appreciate it. Another way you can support the show is buy a BlendJet 2. Go to BlendJet.com. Use the promo code FeedMe12. You'll get 12% off your entire order, free 2-day shipping, and you'll get a wonderful portable blender that you can enjoy a smoothie every day as I do. It really is a great little invention. I'm enjoying the hell out of mine. You can get yours. Mother's Day is next week. It makes a great gift. Again, blendjet.com, promo code FeedMe12, 12% off, free 2-day shipping, and you can thank me later, and we can share recipes. All right. With that, that's it. We're done. I am taking off tomorrow. We're going to rerun the interview with Jeff Charlotte from a week or two ago. And I'll be back Monday. Okay? And I have no idea what we're doing next week because, frankly, all I want to do is sleep. Yeah, it's not been a fun week. You know, we keep going because that's what we do. All right. With that, I'm out. See you Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for bearing with me. Thank you for supporting the show, if you do.